Turn back to Genesis chapter 46. We're just about to get through this study in Genesis here shortly. I've enjoyed it. I've enjoyed studying it. I titled this message, "An Old Saint Tried Again," or "Fear Removed." Jacob is 130 years old at this time. He's been in the land of Canaan now for a while. God has blessed him. He's accumulated some wealth, some cattle, and some servants, and his family's grown. But now has come time for him to go to Egypt. He's got to pull up stakes and leave the promised land at 130 years of age. But this has been a blessing to me just to study these past few days. In the close of chapter 45, we see in verse 27, "And they told him all the words of Joseph, which he had said unto them. And when he saw the wagons which Joseph had sent to carry him, the spirit of Jacob their father revived. He was faint at the news that Joseph was alive." It says he was faint. "But when he saw the wagons and all that was sent by Joseph to him," it says his spirit was revived. "And he said, 'It is enough. My son Joseph is alive. I will go and see him before I die.'" You can only imagine how excited the old man was. All these years, he was led to believe that Joseph had been torn by a beast and killed. And now he hears that his son, Joseph, the one whom he loved the most, is yet alive. And so they loaded up the wagons and they headed for Egypt. Now wagons move slowly. And it gave Jacob time to think. As he pondered his steps, he begins to fear. He begins to be afraid. Israel, you notice here it says, "And Israel took his journey with all that he had." Well, Israel turns into Jacob. Israel, the prince of God, turns back into Jacob and becomes afraid. And how I know this is in verse 3, God tells Jacob to fear not. To fear not. God, Almighty God, sees the heart. He sees the turmoil that's going on in Jacob's heart. He's got his whole family with him. All of his grandchildren, his children, wives, they're all with him. And they're headed down to Egypt. And Egypt is not a good place. Egypt is one of the most idolatrous places on earth at that time. And he begins to fear. So on his way to Egypt, Jacob stops. He pauses for a little while at Beersheba. Now Beersheba is the border town of Canaan. You see, he's in this wagon, and you know, wagons go slow, and he's got time to think. And he comes to Beersheba. And Beersheba is the border town here of Canaan. When you leave Beersheba, that's the last stop before you leave the promised land. So before he leaves the promised land, the land that God had told him to go back to and stay there, and he would bless him and raise up his seed. And so when he comes to Beersheba, he stops there. And he stops there for this purpose, to worship God, to offer the sacrifice, and to seek the Lord's will. He wants to seek His will. It's a place that was dear to him. I want you to turn over to, let me see here, I think it's over in Genesis chapter 21. His grandfather, see, Beersheba means the place of the oath. Chapter, let me look over here. I've got that written down somewhere. Chapter 21. Look in verse 33. And Abraham planted a grove in Beersheba. This is after he made an oath with Abimelech. And that's where he named it Beersheba. It's the well of the oath. And Abraham planted a grove in Beersheba and called there on the name of the Lord, the everlasting God. And then in chapter 22, he goes up to offer Isaac. You see, this is where the Lord told him when he was in Beersheba to go offer Isaac up. And so he does this. And then in verse 19 of chapter 22, so Abraham returned unto his young men, and they rose up and went together to Beersheba. And Abraham dwelt at Beersheba. It's a place where he knows that God is worshipped. It's a special place to him. Isaac lived in Beersheba. So Jacob grew up there. He grew up, so it's a special place to him. It also appears here to me that he made the decision to go in haste. He heard that Joseph was alive. He said, "Listen, I'm going to go see him before I die." And now he gets to the border of Beersheba there. He gets to the border before leaving the promised land. He realizes, I need to seek the Lord in this matter. We need to seek the Lord in any matter that confronts us, we need to seek the Lord. We need to make it a real matter of prayer, a real matter of seeking His face. And so Jacob goes up to this place and he realizes, I need to stop here for a minute. My family's with me. He's the leader of this family. And he realizes, I need to stop here and seek the Lord. I need to seek Him. But you know, one of the things here, and I want to point this out before I go on. One of the things that just really jumped out at me in these first two or three verses here, it says, Israel took his journey with all that he had and came to Beersheba, and he offered sacrifices unto the God of his father Isaac. God spake unto Israel in the visions of the night and said, Jacob, Jacob. Jacob, Jacob. See, he could see the heart of Jacob. He saw that fear. Here's what jumped out at me. The two natures of a believer. He's Israel. He's Israel. Israel means prince with God. You remember the angel that he wrestled with? Changed his name. He said, for as a prince hast thou power with God. Everyone that's born of God is a prince of God. And has power with God. You know that? You who believe the gospel, you are a prince of God and you have power with God. That's every one of God's children. That describes them. And the word of God says that Christ has made us kings and priests unto God. I'm truly looking at some kings and priests. Because the scripture says He has made us kings and priests. But when God speaks to Jacob, when He speaks to him at this point in time, because He sees his heart, He sees his fear, He sees his doubts. When He speaks to him, He says, Jacob, Jacob. Now, this is the name his father Isaac gave to him. This is his name of weakness. Jacob means supplanter. The Lord reminded him at that point right there who he is. Jacob, Jacob. That name also means heel. Heel. Now, a heel is the lowest part of your body, isn't it? It's what you walk on. Jacob, Jacob. Oh, that's his name of weakness. We still have that old Adamic nature that we were born with, and it often... often causes us to fear when we ought not to fear. What do we have to fear? If God be for us, who can be against us? But Jacob was afraid. The scripture says the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. However, though, the Lord's merciful. He's merciful to Jacob. He's merciful to all his children. I am the Lord, I change not. That's the reason why you sons of Jacob, you sons of election, are not consumed. Because I don't change. I'm a God of mercy. Listen to this. In Psalm 103, verse 14. For he knoweth our frame. He remembereth that we are dust. That's all we are. Dust. That's what we're made of. Dust. His body. It's going to go back to the dust. In Psalm 78, listen to this. For their heart was not right with him, neither were they steadfast in his covenant. But he, being full of compassion, forgave their iniquity and destroyed them not. Yea, many a time turned he his anger away and did not stir up all his wrath. For he remembered that they were but flesh, a wind that passeth away and comes not again. John said, my little children, these things write I unto you, that you sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father. When any man sin, we sin. But he said, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he is a propitiation for our sins. Not for ours only, but also for the sins of the world. So Jacob is Jacob. And he's also Israel. Prince of God. And yet he's still Jacob. Worries, fretful, fearful. And yet God's merciful to him. Now, what's he going to do? What's he to do? Well, he's going to stop in Beersheba. As I told you, Beersheba is a place of significance. It's the well of the oath. It's where Abraham was told to offer Isaac. And it's where Isaac lived and Jacob grew up. And so he says here in verse 1, and Israel took his journey with all that he had, and he came to Beersheba. And he offered sacrifices unto the God of his father, Isaac. He stops at Beersheba to worship God. He doesn't know what he's about to face. He does not know what he's about to run into. It is totally unknown to him what's going to happen at this time. And he truly wants the Lord's mind in this matter. He wants to know the Lord's will in this matter of going to Egypt. And the first thing he does is this. He offers sacrifices. Sacrifices unto the God of his father Isaac. The God, the covenant God. The covenant God. The God of all grace. He offers sacrifices to him. God can only be worshipped through a sacrifice. He can only be sought through a sacrifice. And you and I know that that sacrifice is the Lord Jesus Christ. What Jacob offered was a type. It was a picture. But he looked beyond that sacrifice he offered. Jacob looked beyond that to the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm confident of that. He looked beyond that. But if we are to worship God here tonight, we are to worship Him, if we are to seek His will, His direction, it will be through his son. Frank prayed back here. Wayne prayed here. And at the end of the prayer, in Christ's name we pray. In the name of your son, in the name of that great sacrifice, we pray. We seek thy will. If God is pleased to speak to us, personally, I'm not talking about an audible voice, but I'm talking about out of His Word, by His Spirit. It will be through His Son who was sacrificed for us. You see, Jacob offered the sacrifices. He said sacrifices. He offered, no doubt, the sacrifice of thanksgiving. In his sacrifice, he honored God. In his sacrifice, there was blood, satisfaction, atonement. In his sacrifice, he sought the Lord's will. This is what he did. When he stopped and Beersheba to worship God before he went any further. Well, what an example. What an example to his family. What an example to us. What an example. And then God spake unto Israel in the visions of the night, and he said, Jacob, Jacob. And he said, here am I. You know, when God called Adam, he said, where are you, Adam? He said, I was afraid. But Jacob had been taught of God. Jacob offers this sacrifice. And then God speaks after the sacrifices are offered. And when God speaks to Jacob, and he said, Jacob, Jacob, he doesn't say, what? He doesn't say that he was afraid. He says, here am I, ready to do your will. This is what he's saying. That's what Isaiah said, here am I, send me. Now Jacob is seeking the Lord's will in this matter. And I tell you, if you're going to seek the Lord's will in the matter, you better be willing to do it. And when the Lord said, Jacob, Jacob, he said, here am I, Lord, speak. What would you have me to do? Would you have me to go forward or go back? He's ready to do the Lord's will in this matter. Ready to do it. But he said, Jacob, Jacob. I think this is a term of endearment. I think it is. I think it's a term. No doubt when he said, Jacob, Jacob, Jacob knows what he is. He knows it. It's humbling. But it's also a term of endearment. How blessed it is when God speaks to our hearts personally. I mean, to truly speak to our hearts. You know, I've sat in the services many times, Henry preaching. And I mean, go home blessed. Just fed. And you know what that is? That's the Lord speaking to your heart personally. That's God blessing you personally. And that's what he did here. Jacob, Jacob. And Jacob says, here am I, ready to do thy will, listening to the Lord, listening to the Lord, finding out his will in this matter. That's what he's doing. Jacob was afraid of what lay ahead. He was going to go down to Egypt, and the key word here is down too. He knew he was going down. To go to Egypt is to go down, and he's going to take his family with him. Oh, what a burden. I can just imagine the burden that was on his shoulders at 130 years of age to leave the promised land and go down to a place of idolatry where God is not worshipped. What if you were taking your family to Iraq? Or Iran. What if you had to do that right now? What if you had to pack your family up and move them to that place? Now you know how Jacob felt. You know how Jacob felt. He was afraid. And so God speaks to Jacob. And he said, I am God. That's the first thing he said. I am God. Almighty God. God all sufficient. The God of thy father, Isaac, same God, fear not to go down into Egypt, for I will there make of thee a great nation. I am God. Who is your God? Who is your God? This will determine, now listen, this will determine whether or not your fears can be removed. I am God. Before he says, I am the God of your father, the first thing he says, I am God. I am that I am. I am the Almighty. Over in the book of Daniel, the king came and he said, is thy God able to deliver thee? Well, it depends on who your God is. If it is the God of heaven and earth, the sovereign God of heaven and earth, if He's your God, if it is the Lord Jesus Christ who is God, if He's your God, yes, He's able to deliver you. And yes, He's able to remove your fears. He's able to do it. I am God. I'm God. The God of thy father, the covenant God, the immutable God, the same God who guided and kept your father Isaac, the same God your father worshipped. I'm God. In Deuteronomy 7:9, listen. Know therefore that the Lord thy God, He is God. The faithful God, which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love Him and keep His commandments to 1,000 generations. This is the God speaking to Jacob. I am God, and I'm the God of thy father. Therefore, listen, fear not. Fear not. He could reflect back on the life of his father Isaac and Abraham. And he knows how God took care of him. He knows how God guided and took care of his family. He knows that. So fear not. If God be for us, who can be against us? Fear not. Even in a strange land, fear not. Fear not. For us to be successful in the work of the Lord, fear not. Fear not. Fear has to be removed. But it's removed by Him, not positive thinking. But it's removed by Him. He says, fear not. You remember we looked at that building over in Ireton? Remember we looked at that? Henry said to me, he called me over there at his house, and he said, if you think that's the thing to do, he said, if you think that's the thing to do, if you think that's the building, if you think that's what you ought to buy, and that's where you ought to be, he said, you do it and don't you look back. Don't look back. I remember Paul Thacker told me one time, running the business, he was a partner of mine. He said, you cannot run a business successfully being afraid. He said, you cannot be fearful and run a business. He said, you got to do it and just go with it. And that's why he said, Jacob, fear not to go down to Egypt. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. And look at the promise. Here's the reason not to be afraid. For I will there make of thee a great nation. No harm is going to come to you, Jacob. I'm going to fulfill my promise. For I will there make of thee a great nation. Listen, in the furnace of affliction, and that's what it became, in the furnace of affliction, I will make thee a great nation. Listen, is that not what God is doing now? Is that not what He's doing now? Making a great nation of believers through His Son in this furnace of affliction. And I'm telling you what, the longer I live, the more I realize that's exactly what this is. It's a furnace of affliction. But He says, I'm going to make a great nation out of you. And that's exactly what's going to come out of this life through the Lord Jesus Christ. It's going to be a great nation. A great nation. That God's going to make through His Son. But we're going to have to go through this furnace of affliction. And here's another reason not to fear. I will go down with thee into Egypt. Now, could he be in better company? Jacob. He didn't say, Jacob, I will not let him hurt you, which then that would be fine. I'll protect you with angels, and that would be fine. But Jacob, I will go down with thee into Egypt. I'll be right there with you. All along the way. There is no place that a child of God will go, that he will send his children, and he will not go with them. And I will also surely bring thee up again, and Joseph shall put his hand upon thine eyes. Jacob, I will go down with thee into Egypt. God is not confined to the borders of the promised land. God is not in a box. He's not in a circle. He can't get out of it. His dominion is from one end to the other. There's no end to it. No end to it. He goes where His people go. The Lord said, I am with thee always, even to the end of the world. I'm with thee. Listen to this, Isaiah 43:2. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. You say, I'll be waiting on the other side. I'll be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. They might feel like it. David said, all the waters have come in unto my soul. But God sees He sees where the full mark is. He knows where it is. They shall not overflow thee when thou walkest through the fire. And you know what He's saying here? First of all, you are going to go through the water. And you are going to walk through the fire. He said, this is going to happen. That's what He's telling them. But when that happens, thou shalt not be burned. Just like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Standing in that furnace, not a hair on their head was sick. They didn't even smell like smoke. Neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. And I will also surely bring thee up again, and Joseph shall put his hand upon thine eyes. This is nothing but the resurrection. I will surely bring thee up again. I'll raise you up again. The Lord will surely raise us up again from the grave. And listen, Joseph shall put his hand upon thine eyes. Just change that to Jesus. The Lord Jesus Christ shall put his hands upon thine eyes, and you will die in peace. That's what he's saying. Joseph is going to put his hands upon your eyes, and you'll die. Jacob, you're going to die in peace. You're going to see your son. You're going to see Joseph, and you're going to see his children. And Jacob and Joseph's going to put his hands upon your eyes in those last days, and you're going to die in peace. And I'm going to bring you up again. Just as the Lord Jesus Christ. He's going to put His hand on our eyes, and we're going to die in peace. You ever rock? Well, you have. I know you have. Rocked a baby to sleep. You ever just rock him to sleep and you just kind of put your hand there and just say, go to sleep. That's the sense of it. Jacob, it's going to be all right. Your end is going to be good. It's going to be good. And Jacob rose up from Beersheba. See, a part of worship, a true part of worship, you know what it is? Well, probably one of the truest parts of it. Obedience. Obedience. Jacob rose up from Beersheba after he had offered his sacrifices and God spoke to him. He rose up from Beersheba, and the sons of Israel carried Jacob, their father, and their little ones, and their wives, and the wagons which Pharaoh had sent to carry him, and he headed for Egypt. I bet he was revived again. I bet his old heart was revived again. Just joyful. Now he's ready to go. He's ready to go because he has the mind of the Lord in the matter. You know, when the Lord, I think, opens the door and reveals His will and makes His mind known, go. Just go. And they took their cattle and their goods, which they had gotten in the land of Canaan, and came into Egypt, Jacob and all his seed with him. He took all that he had and followed the Lord. That's what he did. He just packed it all up and followed the Lord. Along with his sons and his sons' sons, his grandsons with him, his daughters and his sons' daughters, and all his seed brought he with him into Egypt. And you know what this did? this fulfilled the Word of God. Turn over to Genesis chapter 15. In verse 13, "And he that is God said unto Abram, Know of a surety that thy seed shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs, and shall serve them, and they shall afflict them 400 years. And also that nation whom they shall serve will I judge, and afterwards shall they come out with great substance." So God sends a famine. First, he did all this with Joseph. We've looked at all what happened to Joseph. Sent Joseph to Egypt. Now Joseph is the ruler in Egypt. Sends the famine. Sends Jacob down into Egypt. All this is providential. But it was foretold back there in chapter 15 to Abraham. He said, your seed's going to go into a strange land. They're going to afflict them 400 years. And I'm going to bring them out. And they're going to have a great substance. In closing, trials in this life never end. They never end. Here Jacob is 130 years old, and he's had a tough life. Look over in chapter, Look over in chapter 47. He's 130 years old. And Pharaoh, in verse 8, 47 verse 8. "And Pharaoh said unto Jacob, How old art thou? And Jacob said unto Pharaoh, The days of the years of my pilgrimage are 130 years, few and evil have the days of the years of my life been." He said, my life's been full of trouble. That's what he's saying to Pharaoh. He said, my life has just been fraught with trouble. And I'm 130 years old and the trouble keeps on coming. They never end. And here's why. The husbandman is always pruning the branches, no matter how old they are, to keep them producing that fruit. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, faith. The husbandman never leaves his branches alone, no matter what age they are. But he says this, "But fear not. Fear not. I will be with thee and bring thee up again, but this time to glory." Oh, I tell you, when he brings us up again from the grave, it'll be to glory. Okay, Mike.